Welcome back to
Shaky Understanding.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, welcome back, folks.
Today, we're getting back into it with this action-packed drama tragedy, Timon of Athens.
What is it?
Welcome to the B-side of Shakespeare.
So real.
I'm going to try and explain this play now in some Shakespeare abridged. We start out with all these homies trying to ask Timon of Athens, this guy who lives in Athens, to buy their art and, like, talk to him and give him all this stuff. And Timon comes in, he goes, oh, painter, this is the greatest painting. Here's a bunch of gold. Oh, poet, this is a great poem. Here's a bunch of gold. And they're super happy about it. And apparently he does this all the time. And then another guy comes in and says, hey, my friend's in jail. Can you help him? And Timon's like, of course. He's such a great friend. Then some of these people have names. I'm not going to name anyone you don't need to know. So you only need to know about four names. Apamantus comes in. That's name number two. And he's like a wisecracking beggar who just wants Timon to realize that all these flattering friends are just using him for his money. And Timon's like, no, I love them. You're being pessimistic. You crazy. And then Alcibiades comes in. He's this cool general who just won a bunch of wars in Sparta. And he's good friends with Timon, and they say hello, and, like, welcome back from the war. And then they go to the feast at Timon's house, and all of these people are there to eat Timon's food, and Timon's, like, giving away gold left and right, and Apamantus is, like, yelling at all the people that are flattering Timon. He's like, you don't understand, none of these people are your friends, and you shouldn't be giving them all this stuff. And Timon's like, no, I love giving stuff to my friends, and I don't expect anything back from them. Then Flavius, who's Timon's servant, but also his accountant, is like, Timon, can I talk to you? And Timon's like, I'm busy, it's a feast. And Flavius is like, talks to the audience, he's like, oh no, we don't have any money, Timon's out of money. And then all these creditors come to collect all these debts Timon has. Timon's like, hey, Flavius, why are all these creditors here? And Flavius is like, because you don't have any money. Timon's like, don't worry, just sell all my land. And Flavius is like, I already did. We have less money than that. And then Timon's like, oh, well, just ask my friends. He's like, did that too. No one will give you anything. Timon's like, no, they will when I ask them, because we're great friends. Then all of the servants go to each of these people's houses that we've seen Timon being really benevolent to, and every single one of them deny Timon. They all find a great excuse. One of them says, like, oh, well, this guy already denied him, so I'm not going to give him money, because if my friend's not giving him money, why should I have to bear the burden of the debt? And all this stuff. They're really good at talking themselves out of helping him. Then Alcibiades is seen talking to these senators, asking for pardon for one of his soldier friends who killed a guy in a fight. Alcibiades says he was just acting in defense and that he's done all this great stuff for Athens and winning the wars. And the senator's like, doesn't matter. He still killed a guy. We're putting him to death. Alcibiades starts getting uppity, and then they go, all right, for being uppity, you're going to get banished now. And Alcibiades goes, okay, fine. I'm going to go grab an army and march on Athens and take you all down. And they're like, oh no. And then Timon hears that none of his friends will give him any money. He gets so angry. He decides to throw another feast very passive-aggressively. And when all his friends get there, he opens up the plates, and all of the plates have stones and water in them. He's like, here's your feast! Thanks for all your help! And everyone's like, oh my god, Timon lost it. And then Timon, like, runs out into the woods, like, throwing all of his stuff away. He takes his shirt off, and then he's like, I am giving up society and mankind altogether. I'm gonna go live in the woods. In the woods, Timon's walking around, being a little crazy. He starts digging in the ground to look for roots to eat. And lo and behold, he immediately finds a pot of gold.
Casual.
Typical forest stuff. Alcibiades strolls through with two prostitutes, as one does when walking through a forest. And
also casual.
And Timon is like, hey, Alcibiades, what are you doing out here? And he's like, oh, I'm about to go march on Athens. It's going to be great. And Timon's like, oh, I hate all men, even you. You suck. And Alcibiades is like, dude, we were friends. Like, it's chill. And Timon's like, no, all men are evil. Wait, you're marching on Athens, you say? And then he starts throwing gold at him. He's like, here, take this gold. Destroy Athens. And then once you have, destroy yourself. Because every man is bad, especially Athenians. And then the whores are like, wait, you got gold? We like gold. And he's like, here, have some. Go have sex with all these men and sow disease and make all this bad stuff happen. The more bad stuff, the better. Basically, his alignment changed to, like, chaotic evil with gold. So next he's visited by Apomantis, our lovely angry beggar. And they have a whole back and forth that's really funny because Apomantis is like, oh, so now you hate men? I've been hating men for years, dude. And Timon is like, well, I hate him for real now, forever, for always. Apomantis is like, whatever, guy. And then Timon tries to give him gold, and he's like, I don't want your gold. You're just the same as you were when you were in the city. And Timon's like, no, I'm not. Now I hate everyone with my gold. And he's like, all right, bye. And then three thieves come in, and Timon's like, here, have this gold. And they're like, great, thank you. And then we hear that Flavius is talking to all the servants back at Timon's house, being like, guys, I have to fire you all because we don't have any money. Really sorry. I'm going to take all my savings and divide it up evenly amongst us all. We had such a great master. He was so kind to everyone. I'm so sorry this bad thing happened to him. I hope you guys can all find new jobs. And then he goes, I'm going to take what money I have, go into the forest, and keep serving Timon. It's going to be great. And then he goes in the forest. He's like, Timon, Timon, it's me. It's your friend. And Timon's like, who are you? You're just a dog because you're a man and all men are evil. And Flavius is like, no, I want to help. And Timon's like, you're right. You're always kind of nice to me, but I still hate men. Take some gold and go live your life. And he's like, oh, no. And then he goes back to the city and the senators follow him back to where Timon is so that they can ask Timon to come back and try and stop Alcibiades from marching on Athens. And Timon's like, I will literally never do that. I could care less. He has a speech where he literally says, don't care. I hope you all die, and I don't care. And they're like, well, I guess that was probably not our best plan of action. And then they go back to Athens. Alcibiades marches on Athens. He gets to the gates, and the senators are like, hey, your army's way too big. We don't want to try and fight you. Please don't kill any innocents. They didn't deserve it. Just come in, take what you need. We're real sorry. This was bad on us. And he's like, all right, I accept that. That's great. And then he goes to, like, find... I think he sends someone to go find Timon. And the guy comes back, and he finds Timon's tomb. Timon decided to kill himself and bury himself. And have a tomb erected for himself.
And carve his own epitaph
by himself.
Casual
forest stuff. And his epitaph is like, here lies Timon, hater of man. and then the guy who finds it is like, oh, but I can't read this part at the bottom. I'm gonna take a copy of it on some wax and bring it to Alcibiades, because he's really good at reading, which is... an actual thing, they say. And he brings it to him, and he reads the rest of the epitaph, and he's like, oh, Timon was a great guy. All right, let's start a new era of Athens. And that's the play.
Boo!
Don't say boo!
I'm gonna start throwing tomatoes!
We have a guest today.
We do. Welcome, sir, kind sir.
We have Timon of Athens, titular character.
Very pleased to be here. May I just say, excellently summarized, have $1,000.
Yeah! Woo!
Oh my god, this is really helpful. Thank you so much.
Our podcast is profitable.
Absolutely. No, I always a patron of the arts, always glad to help my friends financially and in no other way.
Wow, I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you. LA needs more people like you. I mean, where do we start? Should I start with what happened with this play that I was going to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it's like basically season two, season three, a shaky understanding. It's kind of shaky. We can do whatever order we want.
Great. I'm just going to talk about...
Do it, because I would like to know. It might answer some of my questions, because most of my questions are like...
What happened?
WTF?
Yeah,
WTF
that.
WTF?
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for this historical aspect, I wanted to figure out what happened, why this play is like it is. It's very strange. There's no growth from any characters and stuff. So there's a couple...
Oh, I think I grew tremendously over the course of the play.
Oh,
I
yeah?
I began as a person who arbitrarily throws out cash because I love people. And yes. I conclude the play as a man who arbitrarily throws out cash because I hate people.
Honestly, not a lot of change there. Change one word in that whole sentence.
I would love to hate. I mean, that's very, it's profound.
All right, it is a little opposite.
All right.
My understanding is Herman Melville thought it was Shakespeare's greatest play.
Oh, no.
That explains so much about Herman Melville, though.
So scholars believe that this play actually was a draft.
That's real.
There's no evidence that it was ever performed in Shakespeare's
also
name.
Real.
It was almost surely co-written by Thomas Middleton, who also co-wrote Mackers, which brings in all the Scottish play, who is said to have written all the Hecuba stuff, all the stuff that's, like, kind of weird in Mackers. And he also co-wrote Measure for Measure and All's Well, which is a mess.
Yeah, Measure for Measure is a mess.
No, Measure is better than All's Well. Just wait. All's Well is a mess.
I'm not ready.
And they have, like, some aspects that they're pretty sure Shakespeare wrote and some aspects that they're pretty sure Thomas wrote. Like, apparently, all the, like, exile stuff where he's really philosophizing about money and, like, the evils of money is probably Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the, like, interactions of people with the servants asking for money and all the excuses the people come up with, that was probably Middleton.
Yeah.
And then there's also some weird source material for this. Like, Plutarch wrote something called The Life of Alcibiades, and there's another thing called by Lucian called Time and the Misanthrope, which is the guy who hates people. So Shakespeare probably read them and was, like, figuring out what to do with all these characters because he wanted to play with them. But, like, it doesn't even make sense, really, that Alcibiades and Timon are in the same play. They don't, like, really affect each other at all.
Are they in the same time period?
They just kind of high-five.
Like, is it like King Tut and Cleopatra being in a play together? Like,
I don't think
that
so.
That timeline is wrong.
I don't know the timelines because I see dates and I just glaze over.
Gotcha.
You know
gotcha.
Me? But,
I mean, they did it in Braveheart and that worked.
There you go. So, yeah, they just think that, like, Shakespeare thought it was an interesting idea to, like, philosophize about money, but never really took it where he wanted to.
This wouldn't even make the blacklist, Shakespeare, okay?
What's the blacklist?
The blacklist is a, like, yearly list of
really good scripts,
is,
right?
Yeah, of really good scripts that aren't being produced.
That's not saying anything!
Okay. I'm saying it wouldn't even be produced.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it was never produced.
Why it was never produced.
It's fascinating, too. Like, this question doesn't really have anything to do with the play itself, but it's just fascinating that it got published. Like, just because there's a painting by Monet, but it's a crap painting, doesn't mean that we need to put it in a museum, okay? Just because it's a bad play, but it's written by Shakespeare, does not make it a good play.
Well, I couldn't disagree more. If we're going to patronize the arts, I think we need to patronize all artists, make sure that they can be supported in their endeavors. I barely looked at the paintings and poems and whatnot at the beginning. I just said, great job, guys, and let them move along.
You wanted to support...
Yeah, I wanted to support them as friends
and
artists.
Well, I think it's interesting...
I'm interested in this blacklist. I need the phone numbers of all of those screenwriters of unpublished things. I want to send them each $1,000.
Whoa!
It's not going to go very far in this industry, but $1,000 could get them a web series. I think it's fine that they publish this in Shakespeare books, because I think what's
neat... But do people perform it?
I've seen it performed by the National Theater, which I couldn't believe. Honestly, they did fine, but the whole time I was like, this is the script? Ooh, yikes.
Yeah.
But people do it.
Ugh.
It's strange. It's a strange choice.
It is a strange choice. You know what else is funny about it? Is Shakespeare's known for words, right? Words. And so usually if you go on Spark Notes or Cliff Notes or whatever, it'll say, you know, top quotes from the play. So obviously Hamlet, you know, you have to be or not to be, or you have quotes from the Scottish play, or, you know, what light through yonder window breaks. Like, there's all these things. For the Spark Notes of Timon, there is not even a tab for quotes. There are no quotes. There is no, but I do have questions. I have comments more than questions, because the play is very easy to follow. I will give it that. The plot is so non-plot-ish. You know, nobody's dressing up as anyone
else.
It's
very A to B.
It is. So it's more, you know what? It's more questions for you, Timon. So.
Happy to oblige. Oh, hang on. Sorry, I'm getting word from, oh boy. Allison, would you say we're friends? I need a quick sidebar with Allison here. Are we?
Sorry, go on.
Would you say that we're friends?
You know, we just met, but you seem like a big supporter of the arts, okay. And I support that. I say right. We're friends.
I'm a little overextended based on some promises I made earlier in the evening.
Thank you for
Could
that, by the way.
You, I need just like $4,000 or $5,000 just to tide me over through some...
Some rough patches?
Rough patch.
Well, you know, you just gave Beverly $1,000, so she could
give
that back
to you. I'm not going
to
take that back. That what kind of person would I be if I offered a gift and then didn't return it?
I also already spent it, so like...
you know,
the internet
I'm
is marvelous that way.
I should have said that we weren't friends. I'm realizing that now. Because I just met you, you know? Like,
that's
just
it!
Met you.
All men are garbage! Everything's
I'm a
trash!
Woman!
Doesn't matter. Listen, the only women in my world are prostitutes.
Right, the only female characters are the prostitutes.
And it is just further evidence. Appomattis was right. Every human belongs in the trash. I would rather be friends with dogs. Ask your questions.
So when your friends, quote-unquote friends, were coming back to you and demanding that you repay them all their stuff, they were wearing necklaces and gifts that you had given them. You just don't feel right about asking for that back or just... calling them hypocrites.
A gift is a gift. If I were to call it back, I'd be just as bad as the rest of this mongrel race of dissident, inharmonious beasts among whom I find myself a member.
I get that, actually. That makes a lot of sense. Because if he asks for what they're wearing back, it's the same thing as what they're doing to him.
The obligation of friendship made me give them those nice things, and it should make them, in turn, repay me with the money that I need. I have no use for those objects now.
That's the thing. The minute I started reading this play, and it starts out actually really strong. Again, it's very easy to follow. It's very well written, obviously, so you can really jump in. And the first... act, and I think even the second act, I was, you know, kind of enjoying the story. I'm like, this is actually good. This is good. But something bad is going to happen because this guy is too nice. We've got a Ned Stark situation. We have a,
King Lear.
King Lear situation. We've got a nice guy being too nice. I see where you're coming from, because you do seem to have a very strict moral code, and when people don't follow it, you kind of say, F those people. Tymon is a Slytherin, okay? Shout out to the Slytherins.
I don't think he is. I think he's a burned-out Hufflepuff.
No, a burned-out Hufflepuff, I don't know. Whatever. Okay,
the way in which you try to rank me with the members of the race called man is a way that insults me to my core. I had rather be counted... a member of the banana peel clan than any group that includes human beings, okay? Your unwillingness to give me $5,000 right now has convinced me that all men, without exception, are as beasts, are lower than beasts, for I had rather be buddies with a bear.
So you found some gold in the forest. Because apparently you're in Ireland, suddenly, where there are leprechauns burying gold around.
Never heard of them. Doesn't exist as a place.
You're the equivalent of, like, a metal detector. You're a human metal detector.
But you find some gold. Mm-hmm. Which is just, again, like, what? But you find some gold.
Mm-hmm.
You give away some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just bury it again. Why? Why do you just bury it again?
Well, obviously, so people don't take it. So, I find gold. My good friend Alcibiades appears with the two only women I've ever met in my life. Both prostitutes. And I, of course, wanted to allow them to use that gold to destroy Athens, or as much of the world as they possibly could, through, of course, military conquest and venereal diseases, respectively. And then, naturally, I decided to bury the rest of it, because I wouldn't want to give it to any passing member of humanity who might use it to better himself or further expand the race of men. I want that gold to be used exclusively for the destruction of mankind, unless I see one of my good buddies who I might just give it to, I don't know.
But why wouldn't you use it for yourself. You've sworn off gold and you're sticking to that because that's your moral code. Like, you can't go back on your word.
Well, I believe if you pay attention earlier in the play, I'm relatively ascetic from the beginning. I'm the eating roots and drinking water is really what I was into beforehand. Most of my resources were
so you're a raw given out vegan? To helping.
I am a raw, I don't know what either of those words means, but probably sure.
he says in Act 4, Scene 3, your greatest want is you want much of meat. Why should you want? Behold, the earth has roots. He's like, girl, go vegan.
You know what? There
Again,
is
I've
a lot.
I've only met two women in my entire life.
Yeah, there is a lot of potential to update this in a hilarious way. Like, update the text. Anyway, here's my next question. Are you like king? Are you a senator? Are you a lord? I cannot remember.
I'm a little confused about that too. I think I'm just a lord.
I think he's just a guy who had a lot of money.
I think I'm just a guy who had at one point a lot of money. Nebulous reasons. I think I maybe
inheritance
I
tax.
Yeah.
Inheritance tax.
And what
the
better,
estate tax.
Sure. And what better way to you know handle that than to just share it out among my friends who turned out to be a mob of useless ingrates whose decapitated heads I wouldn't use to pave the pathway to my new lovely cave.
Ouch!
Harsh. You better watch yourself when you leave your house.
Woo! I'm feeling a little nervous. Okay, can we talk for a hot minute about Alcibiades annoying the Senate and getting himself banished?
Dude, like, he's a loose cannon cop who doesn't care about no rules. He's just trying to help his friends out.
He's Dirty Harry? He's...
Well, it's another example of the ingratitude of man that Alcibiades
right.
and his soldier, who, interesting to note that in this masterpiece, we never meet the person who actually committed the crime... Or get to see that fun murder happen. Anyway,
right, we don't know if he really was acting in self-defense or
not. I'm not sure if it's self-defense, you're just saying in a passion.
Right.
Anyway, but it's just another example of the ingratitude of men that these so-called senators, whose authority I do not recognize, decide that, that all of the great that he has done for the city of Athens is as nothing with this minor crime, killing a man, which to me I count no crime. All men should be killed. And our Jewel just cast him out rather than rewarding him for piling good on good.
It's a great mirror to exactly what Timon's doing, except without money. And it's also a much more interesting story. Let's have that play instead. One of the number one things you learn when you do improv comedy is, like, don't talk about money. No one cares. That's what this whole play does. The other thing I wanted to say is, what's interesting is each of these characters is kind of like the rough draft version of characters we see in plays later. Like, Alcibiades is very much Mark Antony in Julius Caesar.
I can see that.
Slash
I can
Octavius.
See that. Yeah.
And then Apamantus is, like, Jaques, the clown from Twelfth Night. And he's, like, a character that we're going to meet in As You Like It, which is our last play, but
okay.
You haven't seen it yet. And then Flavius is clearly just like Kent in King Lear, who's the guy who gets banished and then comes back to help King Lear. Disguised as, like, the strong man.
Yeah.
And then Timon is, like, very much Lear. Like, he is really nice. If something bad happens, he runs into the forest and goes crazy.
Yeah, except it's
not paid off.
I feel, here's the thing, and I've been talking about this a lot. I have to care about the characters to watch a movie or a TV show or a play. And if I don't, I'm just like, looking at my watch, I'm eating my popcorn. I'm like, wow, these are nice sets. Wonder where they filmed this or whatever. And I just, like, don't understand. So I don't care. But my point is, I care very much about King Lear.
Yeah.
He is a much more developed character. And so when he does run off into the forest and go crazy, you're like, oh no, have a cold, babe. I hope you find somewhere with warm cider. And here, this guy, I'm like,
all right.
Whatever.
Go
is
ahead.
This going anywhere? Nope, that was the end of the play. It reminds me a little bit of Watership Down.
I've never seen it.
It's a book. I think they made it a movie. It's about rabbits.
Rabbits?
Rabbits. Yeah, it's about rabbits. It's a whole novel written from the point of view of rabbits. They're the main characters. Yes, rabbits.
I hate rabbits.
I know. That's why you've never read this book.
Legit.
Here's the thing. You meet all of the characters. There's a lot of them. There's rabbits, so obviously. you meet them all, and they, for whatever reason, I read this over 10 years ago, they decide that they have to move, or for some reason, they have to find a new home.
Wait, are these rabbits speaking as men?
Yes.
I hate these rabbits. What noble beast such as a rabbit who would spend his day otherwise innocently scampering about eating vegetables would choose to put on the mantle of human interaction.
Oh, no.
What an awful piece of literature this sounds like.
They go on this whole journey. They cross the river. They do this whole thing. They get to the other side and they're like, oh, we found our new home. Hooray. This is on page 100, or 200 maybe, of like 400 pages. I stopped reading at that point. I was like, you know what? I feel like the story's over. I don't know what's going to happen to you guys next, but I don't care.
That's crazy.
It's insane. And I feel like it's this, like I was waiting for the thing to happen. And the thing that happened is what they set out to do, which was find a new home. So there was no suspense, and I was just like, I'm done. So it kind of reminds me of that. Apparently, Watership Down is a beautiful classic book, and I don't know, maybe you need to read the whole thing. If it's on your reading list, kids, read the whole book. Maybe it's better.
I'm Googling right now to see if there's a movie version of this, because I didn't Google it before.
Of Timon?
Yeah. There's a TV movie.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Which I think is BBC, so that means that they did the whole production. Like, right. When I say TV movie, I mean the BBC did time in a movie.
Oh, man.
Who is in this? Jonathan? Oh, it's that guy. It's the Sparrow. Jonathan Price was Timon.
That I can buy.
I can get into that.
Jonathan Price.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Wait, no.
It's like, Price, is he? It's like 20-something Jonathan Price. Look at this picture.
Damn.
I can get into this. I guess he's probably older than 20, but he's not white hair, which is crazy. And then there's another version, 2009, that doesn't have any pictures, so I don't know if it's an actual movie or like a student film. But I've never seen it, but that one looks good. I'd be interested to see him play Timon.
Yeah, I could buy that.
It's from the 80s, 81.
But it's not gonna make it good.
Yeah.
Everything starts from the script, and if the script's no good, no matter how good you are at acting or how good you are at directing.
I think it has some interesting philosophies about money. It has some beautiful words, like, money is like golden slaves. I liked that part. That's nice.
Yeah, that's real. But I really,
you know.
But that's what I'm saying, like, you can if you, like, updated and rewrote it, mm-hmm. it could be a lot more interesting. Also, this, like, oh, don't be mad at a soldier that killed a civilian. Like, what? Black Lives Matter. Hello.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
You see? You could totally update it.
Oh, I think the real flaw with this play is that it comes from the mind of man. True art is not to be found in the corrupted souls of these bipedal hominid organisms roaming this barren rock, but in the beauty of a sunset, the gentle tang of a root vegetable, the aforementioned scampering of a small rabbit, the song of a bird. Not for men, me.
I also like that Timon specifically was like, I want to have a grave with beachfront property. He's like, I want the waves to come to my grave. I gotta have a view.
It's like I say, the natural world, that's the only important thing. If I can't have a view and I die, then what's the point?
Is this
that was another reason they think that it was not finished, because no one says who buried Timon. They're like, yeah. Clearly
there's some misinformation. I can clear that up right now.
Oh, yeah, who did it?
I buried myself.
How?
Did you kill yourself first? Or were you, like, almost all the way buried, then you, like, stabbed yourself as you dropped the last piece of dirt?
It was a very challenging time. I dug a hole. I gave myself a mortal wound that I was confident would kill me within, I don't know, 2 to 3 hours. Then I shoveled dirt with my last strength in down on top of myself as best I could. Again, very challenging. I rigged up a pulley system using some other roots, many uses for roots. In addition to being a delicious repast, you can also weave them together into ropes that you can then use to drag dirt in over your dying body. The biggest challenge was getting the stone with my epitaph into place above me.
Question, how did you carve the epitaph?
With another stone and...
Some Rufus.
Yeah, some more, some roots, application of roots to stone, and a great deal of patience. I mean, you within this work by a man, you only get bare moments of the time that I spent in the woods. I had ample time on my hands to do all sorts of interesting exercises involving root vegetables.
You planned for so long to kill yourself that you had time to carve your own.
Yes, I spent before I dug my grave and then mortally wounded myself, dragged a bunch of dirt on top of myself, I spent a good week and a half just painstakingly carving out the perfect epitaph for myself that I thought would send the appropriate message to Foulmen and ideally prompt them all to also kill themselves.
Death and destruction because of one man.
Really?
Because of one man. It's Jesus Christ Superstar.
I've never heard of him.
He's going to be huge. Just wait. So we're going to read a little bit of Act 4, Scene 3, which is incredibly long. But we're going to read part of Apomantis talking to Timon. And then trying to out-pessimist each other and out-misanthrope each other.
If thou couldst please me with speaking to me, thou mightst have hit upon it here. The Commonwealth of Athens has become a forest of beasts.
How, has the ass broke the wall that thou art out of the city?
Yonder comes a poet and a painter. The plague of company light upon thee. I will fear to catch it and give way. I know not what else to do. I'll see thee again.
When there is nothing living but thee, thou shalt be welcome. I had rather be a beggar's dog than Apomantis.
Thou art the cap of all the fools alive.
Would thou wert clean enough to spit upon.
A plague on thee! Thou art too bad to curse.
All villains that do stand by thee are pure.
There is no leprosy but what thou speakest.
If I name thee, I'd beat thee, but I should infect my hands.
I would my tongue could rot them off.
Away, thou issue of a mangy dog. Color does kill me that thou art alive. I swoon to see thee.
Would thou wouldst burst!
Away, thou tedious rogue. Stone throw. I am sorry I shall lose a stone by thee.
Beast!
Slave!
Toad!
Rogue, rogue, rogue. I am sick of this false world and will love naught but even the mere necessities upon it. Then, Timon, presently prepare thy grave. Lie where the light foam of the sea may beat thy gravestone daily. Make thine epitaph that death in me at others' lives may laugh. O thou sweet king-killer, and dear divorce twixt natural son and sire, thou bright defiler of Hymen's purest bed, thou valiant Mars, thou ever young, fresh, loved, and delicate wooer, I'm looking at gold right now, whose blush doth thaw the consecrated snow that lies on Dian's lap, thou visible god that soldierest clone close impossibilities and makest them kiss, that speakst with every tongue to every purpose, O thou touch of hearts, think thy slave man rebels, and by thy virtue set them into confounding odds that beasts may have the world in empire.
So,
the world without us.
Wow, you've been very passionate.
Wow, thank you for coming by and speaking with us.
Really sorry we couldn't lend you any money, man.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Just another symptom of the horse. Oh, wait, what's... just pushing up some carpet here and... oh my god, it's a pile of gold.
I left that somewhere.
I'm gonna call a mercenary army to raise this city to the ground.
Oh man. Alright, everybody go grab your go bags. We'll
see. Timon of Athens are coming!
We'll see you next time. I'm Beverly Jean.
I'm Allison Powell.
Deuces peasants! I hold the world, Deuces peasants.